Hey, I'm Adanya.
Hey, I'm Kaylin.
Hey, I'm Jalea.
And I'm Tamara. And you're listening to
The End of the Alphabet.
Welcome back, guys, to The End of the Alphabet. On this episode, we're talking about sleep-related violence. Sleep-related violence occurs at or below 2% in humans in both North America and Europe. In addition, three separate disorders are associated with sleep violence. It can cause different types of effects like arousal disorder, running and kicking within your sleep, rapid eye movement like REM, and other sleep behavior disorders. Within REM sleep behavior disorder, it occurs within 93% of its patients, and 63% of the patients assault their spouses, and 32% end up injuring themselves within their sleep. In addition to these statistics, the Sleep Forensics Associates have had over 200 forensic cases involving sleep disorders. They suspect that it could be linked to sleep-related drugs like Ambien. So, with this type of data, information, and statistics, what are the actual effects of sleep-related violence?
In 1997, Scott Fowler killed his wife while sleepwalking. He stabbed her 44 times and then dragged her out to their swimming pool. Unintentional sleep violence is becoming more common in terms of defense in the court of law. However, there is no way to test for sleepwalking. Scott says that he has no memory of the attack. In this episode, we have two opposing viewpoints. On one side, we have Jalea, who feels as though Scott should not be held accountable for his actions. And on the other, we have Adanya, who feels as though Scott should be held accountable for his actions. Which side will you pick?
Round one, fight!
Should people be held accountable for their actions while asleep?
He should not be held accountable because he was unconscious while he did it, and you can't charge someone for an action they did unconscious.
It doesn't matter if they're unconscious or not. He still committed an act that needs to be paid for. If somebody commits murder, when they're conscious, they still have to pay for it.
Danya, but you have to understand, like, he didn't do it willingly. Like, he didn't plan on killing
his wife. Willing or unwilling, there are several times where people end up killing somebody they love or somebody they don't even know.
But they did that intentional. That was intentional.
They can say it's unintentional.
They can say it, but there's no history. Because maybe something happened in the moment. They can say it, but there was no history.
Oh, so just because he has history of sleep.
He has history of sleep disorder, so you can't hold that against him.
If that's the case, he could have got help for this before all this happened.
Okay, but
he still needs to be held accountable for his actions.
Then you can blame the parents. You can't
blame
that on him.
No, you can't blame the parents.
Yes, you can.
He's a grown man who's been married to his wife for 20 years.
But there was no problem before.
No problem.
There was no problem before.
No, she knew about this, yes. But at the same time, it doesn't mean her life needs to be taken because she knew something her husband did. Their son has sleep.
You say it like he did it on purpose.
It doesn't matter if he did it on purpose or not.
It does matter.
He still committed the action. It doesn't matter if it's action or not. That is still committing a violence to somebody.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. That is still an assault.
It was an act of assault.
He stabbed her 44 times. Then after that, dragged her to a pool. Basically put her in the pool. If she wasn't dead, she's definitely dead now. It doesn't matter if you sleep or not. I took 45 minutes to do this. This is more than just a sleeping disorder. This is an issue. Even though he was asleep, it's still an action he committed. Her family is going to feel that pain for a long time.
And he's going to feel the pain too, but he didn't do it on purpose.
Other than that pain, he
was unconscious.
Doesn't matter. It does not matter.
It
doesn't matter. It's still an action that he needs to pay for.
It's not going to be first degree murder, and it's not going to be second degree murder because it wasn't intentional.
Okay.
And there was no proof that he planned it.
It doesn't have to be planned in order for it still to be an action that needs to be paid for.
Okay. Why would he pay for it if he was unconscious and
because he still did it.
Next question. If you think that they should be held accountable, how so? If not, should any alternative action be done?
He does need to be held accountable. I'm going to stick to that.
Okay.
Okay. Because you were saying it's murder or whatever. Yes, it's not going to be first degree, yada, yada, yada. But he still killed the lady. It doesn't matter if he was conscious or unconscious. If that means he has to go to jail and then come back and go to a rehabilitation center where he can get this situation organized so this won't happen again, he still killed his wife, so he should have to pay for that in some manner.
No, I don't think so. I think it's not necessarily like that. No, he shouldn't go to jail, period, because it's a disorder. He didn't intend on having this disorder. I think he should just get help with his disorder and make sure this doesn't happen again. Because the first time, see, now he knows. The second time, he can be held accountable the second time.
Because now he knows how far it can go. All before, he just, what, shoved his sister? Act of violence? That's when the parent should intervene, but no one intervened. So he was like, okay, I'm fine. Now he killed his wife. So now he knows how far it can go. So as a precedent, they'll know what to do next time.
Isn't there this thing where it's like no one can help you unless you want to help yourself?
Why, after how would he know he needed help?
After all these years, you knew what you went through when you were a child. You knew how what you went through when you were young before you got married. You but know that you have this disorder after a certain amount of time. Your sister, I'm pretty sure, is going to tell you what you're doing to her in your sleep.
If he was living by himself, Danya, how would he know?
I'm pretty sure you're going to wake up and realize things are disorganized from the time you went to sleep. Who else is going to do it?
Sleep?
Casper?
No,
like, come on now.
Didn't it say that the person gets in contact with someone else normally not because they sought them out, but the other person sought them out?
Are you talking about with a relationship?
I'm saying in general, when you're sleepwalking, the assailant isn't the one that seeks someone out. It's the other person.
So you're trying to say it's the wife's fault she got killed?
Did I say that?
I'm asking.
Don't put words in my mouth.
I didn't. That's I'm what asking you, is that where you're implying? Twisted it. I'm asking you, are you implying that?
You twisted
that?
It. Okay, why do you think he needs to go to jail?
Because he still killed his wife. If you let him go and say that he doesn't need to go to jail for that, people are going to keep using this as an excuse for not going, for not having, they're going to say, oh, I have a sleeping disorder. But at the same time, it's hard to prove a sleep disorder. Okay. So who's to say somebody else can't have this excuse?
Mm-mm. A, there's such things as a lie detector test. B, that's what we have doctors for. And there is a way to test for sleep disorders. That's when you go to the sleep testing room. That's when they do sleep apnea and all that stuff. So there is a way.
Is there any way that you two can reach common ground on this issue?
The only thing they can agree on is that he just needs to get help. That's it. That's all. That's the only common ground we have. Because why would you send him to jail?
We're not doing this again.
Logical answer would be for him to get help.
Well, okay, so he needs to be put in some type of center where he can get help for his treatment.
Exactly. Jail's not going to help him.
It'll help him think about him killing his wife, even though he was
which
asleep.
He doesn't remember, so that'd be pointless.
He should be held accountable. Done deal. Just saying.
No, you shouldn't. Actually,
he still
shouldn't.
Murdered her.
Okay.
Still killed
doesn't
his wife.
Doesn't remember.
He needs to pay for it.
Doesn't remember.
It doesn't matter who says he doesn't didn't. Remember. He did it. Doesn't, there's proof that he did it.
Unconscious.
There's proof that he had a sleep disorder before he committed this murder.
Stop.
Just
stop.
Saying.
Stop.
What?
He's unconscious. He was unconscious. He didn't remember what he did. He had no intention of doing it.
I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question. 20 years from now, I get a husband.
No,
he has a sleep disorder. He kills me.
Okay.
You gonna let him go free? You ain't gonna let him go to jail for that?
I'm gonna be upset, but I'm gonna be like, well, dang, dude, why didn't you get the help you deserve?
So you're telling me you're not gonna make this man pay for my death?
In conclusion, sleep-related violence is still extremely under-recognized. It is technically classified as a parasomnia since abnormal activities are occurring. According to the small amount of data on sleep-related violence retrieved from omics.org, sleep-related violence affects 3-5% of the general population, and more commonly affects males. Those who report sleep-related violence usually have more bad dreams or night terrors, and more commonly affects those with PTSD.
At the end, it is not up to us to decide the accountability of sleep-related violence. However, I do hope that the sleep parasomnia is not used as an excuse in violent crimes in the future.
Tune in at the end of the month when we talk about classical and operant conditioning and phone usage behaviors.